Again, good morning. I wonder, what are you attracted to? Ask a bee and it's any flower. Ask an Olympian and it's gold. Ask a young engaged lady and it's her fiancé. No? But just as there are things that we're attracted to, there are also things that distract us from those things. This morning we're looking at dealing with distractions. And as Christians, we recognise that Satan is very much alive and active in our world. But as Christians, we also recognise that we are safe. We are safe in the shelter, under the shelter of our Almighty God. Nevertheless, the devil continues to work to oppose, distract, disrupt the work of the Lord. And last week, Kate shared from chapters 4 and 5, and we saw how the rebuilding of the city walls around Jerusalem met with opposition that came from both without and within. Came from the governors of the neighbouring areas, but it also came from within the city walls, the mistreatment of the Hebrew people, one from the other, creating disharmony, disunity. And the devil is relentless in his attacks. He continues to attack, he never gives up. And if he can't disrupt the work from without or within, then he'll attack the leaders. And in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, we see just this. If you can hit the leader hard enough, if you can take down the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. And so we see an attack on Nehemiah. And so behind the work and the words of Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem was the work and the words of Satan himself. And I wonder how much pleasure Satan took in the exile of the Hebrew people. Did he too see the nation of Israel as good as dead and buried? Did he view the chosen people of God as defeated, as bearing as an ineffective witness as possible for their God and to the surrounding nations? And so he's more than keen to see the walls remain torn down to keep the Hebrew people in a subservient position, to keep the Hebrew people as nobodies. Now, as we look at chapter 6, we'll see three ways. There are three ways through which Nehemiah is attacked, and you might see how these have occurred in your life, might have occurred in the life of other churches. But be aware too that these same tactics may be the very tactics that we employ ourselves. We might feel attacked at times, but we might also be the attacker and use these same tactics. And so we come to chapter 6. The surrounding peoples have heard that the walls of the city are almost complete. Already. It hasn't taken long. It's nearly time for the ribbon cutting ceremony. The walls have been completed. There's just the doors to be finished and hung in the gateways of the walls. And again, we can't be too sure as to the underlying motivation behind the opposition, except that Satan's behind it. The evil one is alive and actively working against God. And so we read from verse 1 in chapter 6. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, so there was a whole bunch of enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, "Let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messages to them with this reply: "I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. This first distraction is through the way of a deterrent. They sought to deter Nehemiah from finishing the job. Ono was 30 to 40 kilometres away from Jerusalem. It was somewhat central in location, and the suggestion was that the leaders or the governors of the regions get together for a chinwag. Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem, they weren't privy to the favourable place that Nehemiah had with the king of Persia. And they were concerned for their region, as it appeared that the Hebrew people were creating the potential for a real confrontation. They no doubt warned or wanted to slow the progress of the construction down, to in fact cease its completion, by getting Nehemiah on side, getting him in a similar mindset as to themselves. But quite possibly, if they were not successful, then bring some harm to him. Whilst he was away from the city and from his people, they sought to deter Nehemiah from finishing or completing the task at hand. And so Satan seeks to deter us from that which is good. He seeks to deter us from that which we are called to do, and the way that we are called to live. And distractions come in all shapes and forms, designed to deter us from God's way. It can be through an area of sin that we might tolerate. The devil has a foothold into a weakness of ours, and he keeps chiseling away until it becomes a stronghold, all the while deterring us from that which is good and the way that we are meant to be living for the Lord. He might deter us through a love for another interest or pursuit that might even be a good thing, but it's not the main thing. And so he seeks to deter us from the main thing. It might be as simple as turning on the computer, checking your emails or Facebook, playing games on your iPhone. All these things just deterring us from spending time with God. What do you do first thing in the morning? Go to Facebook or to God's Word? Dorothy Haskins shares a tip that she'd learnt from a brilliant violinist. A friend of hers, a violinist, she said this: "There are many things that used to demand my time. When I went to my room after breakfast, I made my bed, straightened the room, dusted, and I did whatever else seemed necessary. And when I'd finished all my work, I then turned to my violin practice. This system prevented me from accomplishing what I could on the violin, and so I reversed it. I deliberately planned to neglect everything else until my practice time was complete." And that program of planned neglect brought my success. It seems to me that for many of us, we need planned neglect. We need to drop that which is not important, to think about and to know where our priorities are and stick with them, to determine to do the important things first. Nehemiah deliberately ignored what they were suggesting. It was a deliberate choice that he made. Nehemiah planned to neglect their offer to come to Ono. In a sense, he said, "Oh no, I'll ignore their invitation." 4 times, he's not going to forsake a great work for a lesser work or are anything less. I wonder, is there something that has been distracting you from God, from doing his will? Can you plan or determine to neglect that thing? What do you think are God's priorities for your life? And what are those things that you're allowing to derail you from God's agenda? What do you need to plan to neglect? Second form of distraction for Nehemiah came by way of defamation. They sought to defame him. Verse 5. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message once again, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations," and Geshem says that it's true, "that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king and have been appointed and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king of Persia, so come, let's meet together." I sent them this reply, "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You're just making it up in your own head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. So on the fifth occasion, Sanballat sent an unsealed letter, that is, an open letter that everybody can read, basically telling the world that Nehemiah was plotting a revolt and planning to insert himself as the king of Judah. Sanballat wanted it widely known that it appeared that the building of the walls was so that they could rebel against the Persian Empire and so that Nehemiah could set himself up as the king of the Hebrew people, thereby committing treason. Surely this should upset the Hebrew people, wondering whether Nehemiah had hidden motives, that he couldn't and shouldn't be trusted. Surely this should cause Nehemiah to stop building and come and talk terms with the surrounding governors. But of course their accusations were untrue, had no basis whatsoever. They set about trying to defame Nehemiah. Now, we've all heard the statement, where there's smoke, there's fire. And physically that might be the case. But how many of us have made that statement when we've heard some gossip? When we've heard something about somebody? We've heard certain stories, we've put two and two together and we've come up with five, and we tend to believe it, because where there's smoke, there's always fire, isn't there? And unfortunately, there's absolutely no way to combat lies and slander. There's no way to combat it. When people set about trying to defame us, spreading lies and gossip, Nehemiah knows that there's no point in trying to argue his case with these governors, except to say that it's untrue and continue on with the work. He understands their motives, but he doesn't lower himself and play their game. He knows that if he does all things with integrity, if he does everything with integrity, then God will look after the rest. So if you and I are people of integrity, and you and I take care of our character, then God will look after our reputation. The things that do destroy us are not gossip and slander and rumours. The thing that destroys us is our character. So we live our lives seeking to honour God, to do what's best for one another. And when the defamation comes, the lies, the gossip comes, we ignore it and we work on our character and we trust God. Third and finally, they sought to discredit Nehemiah through the prophet Shemaiah. Verse 10. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, who was shut in at his home, and he said, "Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple. Let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realised that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He'd been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Evidently, Shemaiah was a recognised prophet. There were a number of prophets in Jerusalem at the time, and he claimed to be shut in, probably due to fasting and prayer, but he had a word for Nehemiah, the gist of which was that Nehemiah's enemies were sending assassins to kill him. So he should hide himself within the temple where they would not dare to enter. And this appalled Nehemiah, not just the thought that somebody was coming to kill him, or potentially, but it appalled him first at the thought that he should hide himself away like a coward, and second at the thought that he should defile the temple. For all but the priest was forbidden to enter the temple. This then was an attempt to discredit him on both grounds of being a coward and dishonouring God. Once again, we see the attacks from the evil one. They come veiled in what would appear on the surface to be a good idea and justified if we follow through. Why not protect oneself from a probable threat? Sounds fair enough. As you and I face varying situations in life, we too may consider things to be, well, that sounds okay, even good, but by following through, do we honour God? If the devil can discredit us in the eyes of others, workmates, neighbours, even family, then he'll attempt to do that. He will seek to discredit us. But there are times out of envy or jealousy that we might also seek to discredit others. And the moment that we start to think about discrediting somebody else, we need to look carefully at our motives and then to seek to honour God in all things, honour God at all times. And so people around us will seek to deter us, defame us, discredit us. Satan seeks to deter us, defame us, discredit us. He seeks to deter, defame, and discredit the work of the church wherever he can, however he can. He seeks to deter, defame, discredit the work of Jesus or the name of Jesus. He's constantly about this. But as we remain faithful, as did Nehemiah, we'll see the Lord's blessing and we'll see the task completed. Verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. Nehemiah then said, "When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realised that this work had been done with the help of our God. Remaining faithful to the Lord, seeking to honour the Lord, in this case for Nehemiah and for us, does just that. It honours God. The surrounding nations recognised that God was behind their success. The surrounding nations stood back and basically said, Judah has a great God. Now, we often consider opposition from the devil as an attack. And we don't like to be attacked. And we fear attack. And so, hence we, in some ways, fear Satan. We fear his attacks. We don't want to be attacked. But perhaps we're better off if we see these attacks through different eyes. Rather than call them attacks, maybe we're better off to simply call them a distraction. They're an attempt to distract us from remaining faithful to the Lord. They're simply a distraction. Nehemiah met a number of distractions and he prayed. Go back to verse 9. He prayed, and as a result, God helped. Verse 16. And once again, we see the link between prayer and God's assistance. We see it so often in Scripture. Distractions come to us in many forms, but let's be like Nehemiah. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Seek to honour him in all things. And the result will be that he will be glorified. And the task that he's asked us to do will be achieved. So how do you avoid distraction? I think it's by your concerted attraction. What are you attracted to? A young lady will not be distracted by any fellow that comes along whilst she remains attracted to her fiancé. Who is your focus? Who is your attraction? Is it the Lord? Like the bee seeking the flower, are we seeking the Lord? Is he our attraction? When we're attacked, these attacks simply become distractions as we pray, as we put our faith in God, our trust in him, relying upon his assistance. And I think for most of us, we only need to think back. How many of us can testify to the goodness of God as he has answered our prayers? He has answered our prayers. If you're being distracted and discouraged at the moment, can I encourage you to come to the Lord in prayer? Earnestly seek him in prayer. And trust him. Trust him to take care of you, because he will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning as we've looked at Nehemiah and the attacks that came upon him, but he saw them as distractions, and he wasn't about to enter into defending himself, to seeing these attacks as the main goal. He wasn't about to be distracted from that which you'd called him to do. And so we thank you for him and his example. And Lord, for us, as we too come under attack and these distractions through which the devil seeks to derail us from being the people of God that you've called us to be, to live the way that you want us to live. Father, would you open our eyes to these distractions, and that we would have the wherewithal, the strength, we would be coming to you in prayer and relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to resist the devil, just as you've called us to do. And Father, we know that you'll be glorified as a result. And so we thank you as we commit ourselves to you. Thank you for the church that we're a part of and for the broader, the universal church right across the world. We do pray for your protection over it and that you would be glorified through it and that those outside of the church's walls would see that we do indeed have a great, almighty, powerful, forgiving God. As we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.